Good morning. It's Tuesday, December 16, 2008. You're listening to the Brain Labor Report.
Listen up. We've got a war zone here today, right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true. But they've declared a war on us. My back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
And it's time we started calling the shots. Going to work could be the death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapons, solidarity, Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood, the list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. When they boost your copay,
war on the workers.
Don't you know what to say?
War on the workers.
When they talk privatization,
war on the workers.
And cooperation,
war on the workers.
When they call you a team,
war on the workers.
You better learn how to scream.
War on the workers.
Oh, that's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. They can lock us out, they can lock us up, we cannot give in. No more lies, no compromise, we'll battle till we win. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. When they talk flexibility,
war on the workers.
Every working stiff can see.
Now
when they poison your water,
war on the workers.
Don't go like lambs to the slaughter.
War on the workers.
When they foul up the air,
war on the workers.
You gotta show that you care.
War on the workers.
When they talk WTO,
war on the workers.
You best be screaming hell no.
War on the workers.
Oh, that's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war. Education, it's a war on child labor protection, it's a war on the 8-hour day, it's a war on occupational health and safety, it's a war on social security. Now thanks to WTO, GATT, NAFTA, MAI, the IMF and the World Bank, it's a worldwide war. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Yeah, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time, sisters and brothers, you know it's time right now. I said it's time we started calling the shots.
All right, it's a war on the workers. That was Ann Feeney, and this is the Brain Labor Report. This is Wes Brain. I'm a host of the show.
And this is Jason Houck. I'm the engineer.
And it's a cold, December 16th morning, 19 degrees at my house as we left today, and cold and slick out there. Hey, it's official. Speaking of Ann Feeney, you know, she starts off every edition of the Brain Labor Report with War on the Workers. But it's official now. This is the first announcement. We can now tell you Ann Feeney will be joining us in Ashland, Oregon on January 20th, 2009 for an inauguration party. That's right. What an entertainer to be doing this. We are going to be celebrating the inauguration, the end of Shrub. It is so great. We're going to be down at the Siskiyou Pub in Ashland, Oregon. So put that on your calendar. I think we're planning on 7 o'clock on January 20th, Inauguration Day. We're going to have an inauguration party, and Ann Feeney is going to be the entertainment. Okay, that'll be fun. Brain Labor Report comes to you every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. That's cold and dark in the winter time, 7 a.m. Pacific time here on the West Coast, 94.9 FM. That's right. This is our low-power FM radio station, KSKQ, right here in Ashland, Oregon. We're project of the Multicultural Association of Southern Oregon. You might be listening to us via the Internet, anywhere on the planet at www.kskq.org. Brain Labor Report talks about the issues of the day as they relate to ordinary working people. That's right, there's a class war going on in this country, class warfare. You don't hear those terms in mainstream media. They don't really like to say it, but I'll tell you what, the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer, and the gap is widening all the time. The American dream is harder and harder for folks who work hard. I mean, people who get out of bed every morning, put their boots on, and head off to work, they work hard, and they're not making ends meet. That's because we do have a war on the workers. We talk about the issues of the day for ordinary working people on the Brain Labor Report. Okay, for today, it is December 16th, always near the top of our half-hour show. We like to bring you the Workers Independent News, 3 minutes of cutting-edge news out of Madison, Wisconsin. So for Tuesday, December 16th, 2008, here's the Workers Independent News.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Women workers in unions on average earn 11.2% more than non-union women. Unionized women workers are also more likely to have employer-provided health insurance and are more likely to have an employer-provided pension. That's according to a report from the Center on Economic and Policy Research. The report also says if the percentage of women in unions continues to grow at the rate it has for the past 25 years, women will be a majority of the unionized workforce by 2020. Right now, 45% of union members are women. Smithfield workers in Tar Heel, North Carolina, who voted to join the United Food and Commercial Workers Union after a long and often bitterly fought campaign, are looking forward now to negotiating their first contract. The UFCW's Jim Papian.
It's a great victory for the workers in Tar Heel. They stuck together. They maintained unity. And the workers in Tar Heel are very anxious to get to the bargaining table with Smithfield.
A Fiscal Policy Institute report says 120,000 more New Yorkers could be jobless by the end of this year, pushing unemployment to 8.5% to 9%. Less than two-thirds of jobless New Yorkers are getting unemployment checks. 14.4% of young workers are jobless. Among blacks in the city, it's 9.2%. The Fiscal Policy Institute says that real median hourly wages in New York City did not rise between 2001 and 2008. Workers at a tire plant in Texarkana are giving back in hopes of keeping their jobs. Jesse Russell reports.
Employees at a Texarkana, Arkansas Cooper Tire and Rubber Company plant have ratified a 3-year renegotiated contract that will freeze their wages over the remaining life of the contract. The contract also shifts more health care costs to employees and includes a 1-year freeze of pension contributions by the company. The workers are represented by the United Steelworkers of America, Local 752L, and they made the concessions as the company weighs which of 4 plants it will close. The union is hoping to reopen the contract and reclaim the concessions once the economy improves. The other 3 plants are in Findlay, Ohio, Albany, Georgia, and Tupelo, Mississippi. The company is seeking to close a plant in response to higher costs and lower demand.
Mississippi workers hoping for new job opportunities at a Toyota Prius plant currently under construction in the state may have to wait a couple of years longer. Toyota announced on Monday that due to slumping auto sales, the completion of plant construction will be put on hold indefinitely. Jesse Russell has today's economic report.
Thousands of tenants in foreclosed homes are receiving a reprieve from Fannie Mae. The mortgage giant announced on Monday that it plans to sign new leases for 4,000 renters in foreclosed properties. Fannie Mae will act as a landlord for these properties now that the owners have failed to make mortgage payments on time. It is unknown if Freddie Mac will also waive evictions for paid-up renters.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And you're listening to the Brain Labor Report. Folks, we're going to a song. We'll see if I get our guest on this morning. We're going to be speaking with, we're looking forward to speaking with, Mr. Dick Meister, a labor journalist out of San Francisco Bay Area. We're going to continue our series, if you will, of folks from the San Francisco area. Jason and I were down in San Francisco at Labor Tech 2008. We met some folks, and they've been joining us on the Brain Labor Report. Okay, the song. And it's a good song. I mentioned Dick is a journalist, a labor journalist, and here is a song by David Rovick's Evening News. Check it out right now.
Cities are full of criminals. All of them are black. They'll shoot you for your shoes or to get a little crack. But the police are protecting us, locking up these thugs, making us all safer by being tough on drugs. There was a truck bomb in Baghdad, blew up the UN. These fanatics do not have care for innocent women and men. They don't like civilization, it's just destruction that they crave. There is no rhyme or reason for the way that they behave. It's hard to believe, but I know it's true. I saw it on the evening news. There's a war on in Colombia, and it's all about cocaine. The FARC is running drugs from Mexico to Maine. It's an ugly situation, but soon it will be whipped. We just need to send along more helicopter gunships. It's hard to believe, but I know it's true. I saw it on evening news. There was a bomber in Jerusalem, blew himself up on a bus. He was a funny-looking Muslim, not like one of us. He didn't like the Jews, and he says that God is great. I don't know what his problem is, he's just so full of hate. It's hard to believe, but I know it's true. I saw it on evening news. Evil men are plotting to blow up Washington, D.C. 'cause they don't like freedom and democracy. They're fans of the Dark Ages. They are all around. They're marching from the desert sand and coming to your town. It's hard to believe, but I know it's true. I saw it on evening news. It's hard to believe, but I know it's true. I saw it on evening news.
All right, Mr. David Rovick's and Evening News. That's a great song, a great introduction for our guest this morning. And we now have Dick Meister. Can you hear us this morning?
Excuse me?
Good morning, Dick.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, morning.
Okay, well, Dick Meister is on the phone with us. He's from the San Francisco Bay Area, and help us with the introduction. You have a long history as a labor journalist. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Dick, please.
Yes, I've been covering labor for 50 years.
Wow.
Both for a newspaper, I was labor editor of the San Francisco Chronicle. Also, before that, I worked for the Associated Press. I've been on off and on for almost all that 50 years on public radio doing commentaries. And I was, as far as I know, the first and so far only daily reporter on television covering labor. I mean, I was the labor reporter for a television station. I was on the air every night with labor stories. And I don't know that anybody's ever done that.
Well, that is fascinating. There's a lot of people who'd like to see more of that. Dick, we met you down there in San Francisco at Labor Tech 2008, and in particular, you were on a panel with folks that were on Sunday, and that panel was basically about labor journalism and the future of broadcast and newspapers and the whole genre of labor reporting. That was a fascinating panel you were on, and maybe we could just continue a little more about the whole area of labor reporting. You know, I used to carry newspapers here in Medford, Oregon, Dick, back in, this would have been around 1962. I was a paper boy. And we at the time, Dick, we had a couple of papers out of Portland, Oregon. We had the Oregonian and the Oregon Journal. And as I understand it, the Oregonian was kind of the business paper, and the Oregon Journal was more the labor paper. And in fact, I've been told, Dick, that that used to be fairly common. Many times there would be competing newspapers in the larger metropolitan areas, and just like I said about here in Oregon, one would take the business side, one maybe the labor side of things. Let me ask you about that and ask you to reflect 50 years of reporting. Would you reflect for us on labor reporting, where it's come from, and maybe a comment on the Oregonian and the Oregon Journal, Dick?
Yes, well, the Oregonian and the Oregon Journal, you're right, I think, about the distinction between the two, pro-labor, anti-labor. However, when I was freelancing columns, the Oregonian used quite a bit of mine, and they were all pro-labor. That stopped about 10 years ago, but they were at one time very pro.
Uh-huh.
But not anymore.
Okay.
And, as I think I said at the conference, labor reporting, when I first started, certainly most, had one, maybe more, labor reporters who covered labor on a regular basis. And now, of course, that's a very rare thing, and when they do cover it, it's covered on the business page normally. And that's a very hostile environment for labor. Obviously, the stories are slanted for people who are interested in business and who often are very anti-labor. And so the stories are written for them. And that's understandable, journalistically speaking. You write for the people, that are going to be reading you. So if the people that are reading you don't like unions, you don't like them either. And the slave reporting on a daily basis is just about unheard of. I mean, the New York Times still has a very good labor reporter, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and about three or four other newspapers, and that's it. And once, as I said, every paper in the country had a labor reporter. It was an important job to have.
Well, it's sometimes referred to as a special interest group, and I'd like to suggest that working people are a pretty large group, Dick. And, if there's a special interest, it's like, making enough money to make it from one month to a month, raising your family. In the old days, people used to graduate from school and have the dream of sending their kids to school, buying a house. Some of those things, I'm not so sure I'd want to be a high schooler graduating right now myself. I don't know that American dream is still around. But there's a lot of people with quarters in their pocket that would put money into a paper box, I think, if there was news about working people. It's just not there. It's all about business. Well, that's an interesting reflection, Dick.
I think, what you're saying is so accurate that, and, more than most people, almost all people in this country work for a living, and why shouldn't they want to read about what they do with their working lives? They spend more than half their life working, and the papers don't seem to understand that.
Wow. Well, that's so true.
They understand it, but don't want to do it.
The stories of working people are interesting. They, some of the most fascinating stories in America are those that take place many times in the struggles in our workplaces. And let's talk about the big picture. Where are we headed? If we don't have news about working people, it's all from a business perspective. Look into your crystal ball. You've been doing this for 50 years, Dick. What do you see down the road for the next 50 years? Please.
Well, I don't know. I may be being a Pollyanna, but I think that it's going to turn around. It has to. I don't think people can put up with this for much longer, and especially the current situation is just, throwing great big bucks at guys that already have big bucks and not helping the little guy very much. And the auto workers is a good example of that, of course. And coverage of labor being what it is, in that story, for instance, they seem to be blaming the papers seem to be blaming the auto workers for the troubles. They didn't design the cars. They didn't fail to market them properly. I mean, they built them. That's all.
Well, isn't that interesting? Well, a lot of misinformation out there, too. I was talking to somebody the other day, and he says, oh, the auto workers, they're overpaid. The reason, you know, the problem with the auto industry is the workers. And I'm going to tell you, this man did not think that up himself. He heard that because it's being repeated over and over and over and over again, Dick. And, you know, a lot of people get their information, when it's wrong information and they repeat it. What can we do about this, Dick?
Yeah, well, buy a newspaper and put out our own. But I don't know. For the last quite a few years, I felt really in a minority, fighting against a bunch of people who don't even want to listen to what I have to say, and not necessarily because it's me, but because of the subject matter.
Dick, we were pretty enthused last Friday. A group of us went over to Bank of America in downtown Medford. We had some picket signs about bailout people, not corporations. And we were particularly enthused with what took place back in Chicago, the sit-in at the Republic Windows and Doors. And I understand all around the country, people went to Bank of America's. There were solidarity actions calling attention to what those workers did. Now, here's the problem here. None of our local papers, we have two of them, they're both owned by Murdoch, owns both the Ashland Daily Tidings and the Medford Mail Tribune. We sent out an advisory to those papers that we were going to be there. Neither one of them sent anybody. And what bothers me about this, Dick, maybe you can help me out on this, was this was a national story. This was a story that was being covered from East Coast to the West Coast. And yet when we have a local action, like at the Bank of America I'm telling you about, we couldn't get the local newspapers to cover it. And I guess I'm so baffled is because this was a story that was in the press. This was in the buzz of the news of the day. And pretty disappointing. Can't get the local papers to go a couple of blocks and cover your story. Any comments on that one, Dick?
Well, I'm familiar with the Mail Tribune. My in-laws live in Medford, and my wife's from Coquille. And I don't know. I really, it's their of course prejudices that it's again, as we said, it's the auto workers' fault, and the real culprit. I was thinking that when the sit-in began, that maybe it would be great if they could call it sit-in or something similar at the Bank of America, which is when you really get to it as the real culprit.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and one of the problems we have progressives here, first off, I'll tell you about it myself, I think I'm pretty guilty, is that I will complain and gripe about the Medford Mail Tribune quite a bit, and then turn around and try to get them to cover something that a progressive labor support action, whatever, like the Bank of America thing I'm telling you about. And then, of course, they don't want to pay any attention to me. I've been griping about them all the time. So it's kind of a catch-22, Dick. Any ideas how I should approach them? Maybe I'll send them Christmas cards. Do you think that would help?
Hey, that might be good. I don't know. My first reaction is say, oh, well, hold a big demonstration, and they'll come and they'll cover it just because it's very visible to the public. But then you've done that at the bank.
Another story I think back on, Dick, some frustration with the Medford Mail Tribune. A few years ago, Granny D was her name. Granny D. Halleck, I believe, at the age of 89, walked from one coast to the other coast, calling attention to campaign finance reform. And much like the Republic Windows and Doors workers, this was a national news at the time. And so we had a pretty good rally in downtown Medford, two blocks away from the Medford Mail Tribune, and well over 100 folks in Little Medford, Oregon. We marched from next to the Criterion Theater to down to the courthouse, and Granny D gave us her speech from the courthouse steps. Dick Meister, we could have walked through the Medford Mail Tribune. It was only two blocks away. they wouldn't have covered it. And again, I'm just baffled by it that you have a national story that they won't pay any attention to. And here's something else. What about this one? You know, when a tree falls in the woods, you know, if no one's around, did it ever fall? If it's not reported in the news, did it ever happen? And you understand the problem there. All the folks in Jackson County who read the Mail Tribune and rely on it for their news, many of them think that is all the news. Any comments on that, Dick?
Well, no, except to agree with you. It's like that here in San Francisco. The coverage is a little better, but not an awful lot.
Tell us about what you're doing these days, Dick. You're mainly are you a freelance journalist? I think
that's the title.
Okay. Well, tell us what does that mean? You're writing for independent publications or what, Dick?
I write for regularly mainly on the internet there are some internet outlets that are pro labor that do allow do cover labor, and I also try to write for some mainstream outlets, but don't have much luck. I send them stuff all the time and they sometimes print and mostly times don't, but there are lots of internet outlets. I think of something called ZNet, another one called LaborNet, Portside is another one. I write regularly for them, and I have my own website that I put on at least once a week, put on a new piece on something that I think is important that's happening in labor, because a lot is happening. And I do have contacts with most of the big stuff and some little.
Okay, about 4 minutes left to go on the Brain Labor Report this morning. We're speaking with Dick Meister. He's a journalist, labor journalist, been doing it for 50 years. He's on the phone with us from the San Francisco Bay Area. You're listening to KSKQ. That's our low-power FM radio station, 94.9 FM here in Ashland, Oregon. You could be hearing this over the internet, www.kskq.org. And we're talking about labor journalism today. Okay, what if you were that kid just out of high school and you're chasing the American dream? All kids do, I think. Most of them do. Say you want to be a journalist, you want to be a labor journalist. Any advice to that person out of high school now? What path? He wants that path of labor journalism. Any ideas from you? How does he get there, Dick?
Oh boy. You master journalism as not just labor journalism, but just journalism, you know, the who, what, why, where, when is the business. You have to learn the subject very well, of course, and there are lots and lots and lots of books on the subject. There are lots and lots of material on the internet. Just bang in the labor and you find a lot of stuff. And just make yourself knowledgeable on the subject. And I think if somebody else anyway can convince publications that labor is something that it's profitable to cover it, because a lot of people would be interested in it and would like if they knew it existed. I mean, there's just a feeling in the air that I get a feeling when I pick up a newspaper that is there still a labor movement? I don't read anything about it. And of course there is a big labor movement, and it's maybe because of our perilous economic times, it will rise again. I hope so. But the problem with it, trying to be a labor journalist, is you've got to make sure that there's a labor movement to cover and that it's healthy and wealthy and wise. And sometimes you just have to wait for others to do something. But to learn the subject, you have to. There are lots of places where the knowledge can be had.
You know, one thought I have on the topic here is the lack of coverage of labor in this country really is what our theme is today, Dick. And it struck me that a lot of times young reporters might come out from a newspaper and talk about what I see here in the Rogue Valley. And if you were to ask them what a central labor council is, they couldn't answer that. And so I think your advice is right on, that maybe it's not just that they're pro-business and hate labor. Maybe it's maybe these young reporters don't even know what the heck they're talking about. I mean,
that's I think, is a key thing. And that's helpful, though, that because they're not, it's not any basic prejudice, it's just ignorance. And you can always overcome any ignorance if you can get them down and sit them down and read that book or listen to that, watch that website or whatever.
Well, there's some good advice for labor journalists, is to pay attention and maybe become familiar with all the struggles of organized labor, with those words that we use, like Central Labor Council. Maybe they could be better reporters. Dick, we just got, 15 seconds or so left to say goodbye. I want to thank you for being our guest this morning on the Brain Labor Report.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
Okay, we'll keep up the work, and 50 years of labor journalist, quite an honor to have you this morning. Dick, we're out of here, and folks, be back again tomorrow. Take care now. See everybody later.